from WBUR Boston. I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. One by one, the Republican names in the race for the 2012 GOP presidential nomination have risen and stalled. Bachman, Huntsman, Gingrich, Paul, Perry, Kane, and there stands Mitt Romney. It's a tough pill for ardent conservatives who saw this as their big moment, Tea Party time. It's not over, but is Romney inevitable on the Republican ticket? This hour on Point, Mitt Romney and the GOP, will conservatives back this man? Do they have to? You can join the conversation. Republicans, are you okay with Mitt? Can you roll with Romney? Can he unite the party and beat Obama? Or are you still holding out? For what? For whom? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We'll dig in on Mitt Romney's Republican profile this hour, but first we turn to Karen Tumulty, national political reporter for The Washington Post, for the latest on a tough week for Herman Cain. Karen Tumulty, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. It's great to be here.
So Herman Cain just going like crazy in the polls, right up there or even ahead of Mitt Romney. We'll see where that goes now. This has been the week of sexual harassment stories. What's the latest, Karen?
Well, and now I think I am up on the latest twists and turns of this.
Okay.
But if you look away for 5 minutes, something else has happened. At this point, this, as you know, is a story that first broke on Politico on Sunday with the allegations that while Herman Cain was in charge of the National Restaurant Association here in Washington, that there were 2 5-figure settlements with women who had accused him of sexual harassment. Since then, Herman Cain has shifted his own story and recollections of all this multiple times, first saying he didn't have any idea what this was about, now saying he recalls one of the settlements. But then 2 things happened yesterday. First is that the Associated Press reported that they have come across a third woman who says that she was also the target of inappropriate behavior by Herman Cain while he was at the Restaurant Association, although she didn't file a formal complaint. She says she thought about doing that.
But no settlement, no complaint and no settlement that we know of there.
That's right. And then we also have a Republican political, a pollster who in a radio interview in Oklahoma said that he witnessed some of this behavior on Herman Cain's part. Now, this pollster...
About these particular women, Karen, or is this another situation?
This is unclear who he is specifically referring to.
Okay.
But that he did see, he says, Herman Cain behaving inappropriately toward a woman in a restaurant in front of other people. So now this particular political consultant has also done, has recently done polling for the, not the Perry campaign itself, the Rick Perry campaign, but the Super PAC, the independent organization that is promoting Rick Perry's candidacy. So this started a whole nother round of finger pointing yesterday where Herman Cain is accusing the Perry campaign of fomenting all of this and is also pointing to the fact that one of his own previous political consultants for a Senate race, he now says, was aware of one of the allegations, and he, Herman Cain, believes that this consultant who's now working for Rick Perry is responsible, and the Perry campaign is responsible for spreading this.
Wow.
So if you try and make a diagram of all the charges that are flying back and forth at this point, it's very difficult.
Here's the sound of Herman Cain kind of under the gun of this, showing a little strain here at a meeting with healthcare providers at a hotel in Virginia this week, surrounded here by a gaggle of reporters fending off the questions.
Mr. Cain, will you release these women from this confidentiality agreement?
Let me say one thing. I'm here with these doctors, and that's what I'm going to talk about. So don't even bother asking me all of these other questions that you all are curious about, okay? Don't even bother.
It's a good question, though, about this confidentiality.
The fact that these women do want to...
What did I say? Excuse me.
Stand back, please.
Herman Cain yesterday feeling the pressure. Karen Tumulty, shakeable, fatal to his run? How do you look at what's going on here?
Well, what's interesting about this, and by the way, he was stonewalling there, but he has since done an interview with Ginny Thomas, the wife of Clarence Thomas.
The Supreme Court Justice, my goodness, okay.
But, you know, the odd thing has been that, you know, among his supporters, this has this has essentially, you know, rallied them, at least thus far, to the cause. Now, we don't know what else is going to come out here, but a number of his ardent supporters are saying, look, you know, this is just proof that he's a real contender and he's being victimized as, you know, many conservatives believe Clarence Thomas was.
I mean, the funny thing was, though, a lot of that was saying that the mainstream press is vilifying or victimizing Herman Cain, but now Herman Cain is not pointing there. He's pointing at a fellow Republican contender for the nomination, Rick Perry's camp.
That's right. And, you know, Rick Perry, of course, is the candidate who has had the most to lose by Herman Cain's rise. Rick Perry was the last sort of flash in the pan in this Republican presidential race. He is still sitting out there on, I believe, over $15 million. But, again, his efforts to kind of get back on his feet are right now being blocked by the enthusiasm that people are feeling for Herman Cain.
And Karen, Cain's troubles this week, how do they play for Mitt Romney, who we're talking about this hour?
You know, at this point, right now it looks like it's very much playing in Mitt Romney's favor, because he's been able to sort of hold himself out of all this. And, you know, essentially if these two guys go at it, it's, you know, potentially a murder-suicide pact.
Murder-suicide pact doesn't sound too good, but it may be good for Romney, but who knows? And as you say, Herman Cain supporters rallying around him. This isn't over. Karen Tumbledy, national political reporter with The Washington Post. Always great to have you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
There's been a lot of people who've jumped into this campaign challenging Mitt Romney. One among them, and kind of highlighting some of the trouble he's had, former Utah Governor John Huntsman. Last week, Huntsman, who's way down in the polls, but even so, he fired off a new web ad blasting Mitt Romney for flip-flopping. The ad shows a wind-up toy gorilla doing backflips alongside a series of Romney soundbites, apparently showing him taking different positions on abortion, gun rights. The voices you hear at the end criticizing Romney are Republican commentator Mary Matlin and John Huntsman.
History has shown us over the last few decades in this 24/7 media world, the flip-flopping candidate cannot get elected.
I believe that abortion should be safe and legal in this country.
That I have consistently been pro-life.
When he took office, the economy was in recession, and he made it worse.
I didn't say that things are worse.
Look, I was an independent during the time of Reagan-Bush. I'm not trying to return to Reagan-Bush.
He is to pursue the strategy which Ronald Reagan pursued.
We do have tough gun laws in Massachusetts. I support them.
And I would protect our Second Amendment rights to bear arms.
And the core of their concern is what you've just raised. What is his core?
It smacks a little bit of leading from behind. This is a time when, if you're going to be president of the United States, you show a little presidential leadership. That's by taking a position and leading out. Sometimes there's a risk associated with taking a position, but that's all part of leadership.
Mitt Romney this way and that, as portrayed there by his competitor, his rival, John Huntsman. Let's look at this Romney question and the GOP, where the party is likely in the end to come down, where the Republicans think they ought to come down. For the defense, Michael Gerson is with us. He was a speechwriter for President George W. Bush and assistant for policy and strategic planning. Today he's a syndicated columnist with The Washington Post. This week he published a column titled The Conservative Case for Mitt Romney. You can find it at our website, onpointradio.org. Michael Gerson, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you.
Great to be with you.
So, you know, here's George Will talking about Mitt Romney as the pretzel candidate, and you say, okay, there are some issues here, but this is the guy. What's your argument, Michael?
Well, first of all, I don't say this is the guy. I think it's, you know, I haven't endorsed a candidate, but I do think it's possible to make a case that Mitt Romney is not really inauthentic on the major issue in American politics today, which is economic and economic issues and job creation. And so he's speaking while the other candidates are arguing today on economic issues, giving a major speech on the topic. And he has, I think, I've heard him speak on these issues, has a great deal of credibility and a great deal of consistency. Now, if the issue, you know, the issue of the day were abortion or health care, I think he does have problems. If you look at where he was 10 years ago and compared to where he is now, it's quite different. Now, of course, it's, you know, you win in Massachusetts as a Republican with a different message.
Where he was governor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where he was governor, you know, with a different message than you bring, than you can win in Iowa and South Carolina. That's a fact of life. And that's been true of a lot of governors who've run for president. But
You write, running for Massachusetts governor in 02, he was pro-choice, economically centrist, culturally liberal, business-oriented Republican. Running for president in 08, he was thoroughly pro-life, orthodox supply-side, culturally conservative, Fox News Republican. You call it a shape-shifting campaign. Do you think, I mean, this for many conservatives is really their moment. They've worked a long time for this. They put in a lot. They've seen the rise of the Tea Party. You know, expectations are very high. Given that kind of dappled face that Romney presents, is that really what conservatives will go for? And does he have to have the conservative support, really conservative wing of the GOP to get the nomination, to win the presidency?
Well, I think the bad news for Romney is that in a number of states, a majority of the Republican primary electorate does not want him. The good news is they haven't settled on anyone else and don't seem likely to. I mean, he's benefited from the fact that he has faced a fairly weak field. And there is a sense of inevitability that starts to kick in. So in states like Iowa and South Carolina, which are his hardest states, and I've spent some recent time in, the most conservative of states, he remains about 23-25% in these states. Other people rise and fall. And I think that puts him in a pretty good position.
Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about Mitt Romney and the GOP asking, will conservative Republicans back this man? Asking, do they have to? Here's Mitt Romney himself, this at the GOP debate in Ames, Iowa. In August, Mitt Romney's 32nd closing statement made a concerted pitch for why he was the right candidate now for president.
What we need in this country is someone who's willing to go to work, who believes in America, who believes in free enterprise, who believes in capitalism, who believes in opportunity and freedom. I am that person. I love this country, and I will do everything in my power to strengthen our economy and keep America the hope of the earth. Thank you. I'd love your help.
I am that person, said Mitt Romney then, and he says it now. Is he? Republicans, is Mitt Romney that person, that candidate for you? Michael Gerson is with us, from the nationally syndicated columnist with the Washington Post, former speechwriter to President George W. Bush. Michael Gerson writes, Romney can make, if he can make, the positive case for pragmatism, he can do it. He can be it. He joins us from Washington. With us right now as well from Manassas, Virginia, is Richard Viguerie. He's been deeply involved in conservative politics since the Goldwater days. Chairman of the conservative news and commentary site conservativehq.com, author of Conservatives Betrayed. Richard Viguerie, welcome back to On Point.
Always good to be with you, Tom.
It's great to have you. Michael Gerson is looking at this and saying, look, this guy, our biggest challenge is the economy. Here's a business guy with free market instincts. And if the Republican Party goes for his pragmatism, if he can make a positive case for it, he is the man. What do you say?
Well, you know, what he just said there, you replayed the closing statement that he made in Iowa debate. You know, he believes in America, capitalism, et cetera. You know, is a statement that, quite frankly, the President of the United States, Obama, could say, and most anybody running for office. So he really doesn't tell us who he really is. And in many ways, Tom, this is a issue, a battle, so to speak, has been building for decades, where we have a Republican nominee for president out of sync with the base of the party. The base of the party is to the right, and the nominees have been to the center or center left. And as Lincoln told us, you know, a house divided cannot stand. Of course, he took that from the Bible. Matthew 12:25 says, you know, you can't, house divided will not stand. And I think you're seeing with the rise of the Tea Party now, this is an issue coming to a head for 50 years. You know, whether it's a Bob Dole, a Richard Nixon, a Gerry Ford, a George Bush 41, 43, John McCain, these people are basically been at war with the base of the party. And Romney is stuck at 20-25%, which is what he's had for 5 years. And I think, as Michael Gerson wrote early September, that this may be a wave election. election. This may be the time when the people are prepared to make an ideological shift as they were in the early 1930s and fundamentally take America in a conservative direction. And American people, conservatives, don't want to settle for somebody who doesn't share their beliefs.
Michael Gerson, how about it? Here's George Will writing, you know, he says Republicans may have found their Michael Dukakis, a technocratic governor who takes his bearings from data, who believes elections should be about, in Dukakis' words back then, competence, not ideology. Will writes, has conservatism come so far, surmounting so many obstacles to settle at a moment of economic crisis for this? What do you say to that perspective, Michael?
Well, I guess the response is that I don't believe that Romney is running as a moderate in challenging the base of the party. He's running as a conservative, and the question is how credible that is given his background. That I think is an open question, but it would be and I believe that Romney was vulnerable early in this election. But it's all dependent on the development of a viable conservative alternative, on Rick Perry, who on paper should be able to unite Christian conservatives and Tea Party people and more conservative business types within the party. It was a matter of skills. And with Michelle Bachmann, I think much the same. And we'll see with Kane. But all these challenges have come up. Romney has pursued a very effective strategy. He's already vetted in many ways. These issues are not new within the party in a way that others were not vetted. His skills are better than the alternatives. And those things matter in American politics. So he has a conservative economic approach and a better set of skills. And I think many Republicans are going to see that as the best chance to beat Barack Obama.
Richard Viguerie, Michael Gerson makes the skills argument for Mitt Romney. He writes on the largest topic of the day, the economy, the charge of inauthenticity won't stick. And when it comes to the cultural issues, which have been very important to the conservative movement as well, he says, is it really reasonable to assume that a former Mormon bishop deep down is a cultural liberal, Mr. Viguerie?
Well, you know, what Michael just said there, you know, I would find it hard to disagree with. I think he summarized it very well. And like Michael, I haven't endorsed anybody. I think Perry's, at the end of the day, the nomination battle will basically come down probably to Rick Perry or Mitt Romney. I had the opportunity in 2007 in Salt Lake City with a bunch of other conservatives to sit down for an hour with Governor Romney. Mm-hmm. And he goes around the table and asks the conservatives there, Joe, what's your favorite issue? Mary, what's yours, et cetera. Mm-hmm. When it gets to me, I said, all due respect, Governor, to my friends here, they're all wrong. Because the most important issue hasn't been discussed. And the most important issue for any candidate running for office, particularly for president, is personnel. Tell me who you walk with, and I'll tell you who you are. When I saw Reagan, and I saw him a fair amount throughout the 1970s, okay. I never saw him, Tom, except I saw him surrounded by my friends. Well, there's Lynn Nofsinger, and there's Ed Meese, and there's Dick Allen, and Marty Anderson.
And by your
and
friends, you're
Clark.
Saying
conservatives. Mm-hmm. Yeah, conservatives mm-hmm. that we all knew, that mm-hmm. we walked okay. with. We had known these people for, 10, 15, 20 years. And so it was logical, natural, when he moved into the White House, Reagan, in January of 1981, that conservatives moved in with him. Not enough, but a lot of conservatives did come into the White House. And it's impossible, literally, to have conservative programs and policies without conservative personnel.
What about Mr. Romney?
Well, I asked him that very question, and he kind of blew it off. Said you've got to have competent people and people who know the issues and that type of thing, not telling us and giving us any idea the type of people he would bring into the White House. And if he comes into the White House in 2013 and all he brings in is Fortune 500 corporate CEOs, conservative issues are over with. They're gone. They're out the window.
What makes you think that's all he would bring in with him, Richard Viguerie?
For a very simple reason. As I said a few minutes ago, Tom, tell me who you walk with and I tell you who you are. I challenge anybody to tell me a well-known conservative that is around Romney. It's understandable.
I can try.
Yeah, please, please.
Right. Well,
Michael, yes.
Well, the leaders of his economic team, his main advisors here are Glenn Hubbard, who I know is a very conservative economist, and Vin Weber, former Republican congressman, And Jim Talent, former senator from Missouri, is a strong conservative.
And strong conservative, Tom. Quite frankly, they are Washington establishment, you know, big government types. I know Vin Weber. I love Vin Weber. He's a wonderful guy. But Vin is a, you know, but Vin is a big corporate Washington lobbyist. And they're not going to go out there and say, as conservatives want, as Tea Partiers want, we want to ratchet down significantly the size of the government. Name me anybody around Romney, and Romney himself, will he say that? I want to significantly reduce the size of government. That's what we want.
Richard Vigil, let me ask you, maybe your perspective, you've been around a long time, you've seen a lot, but maybe, you know, you're cured in the barrel here for a long time. Maybe you're a sort of truer than true believer. Maybe for a lot of Tea Party people or conservatives, Glenn Hubbard, Vin Weber, Jim Talent will be conservative enough. What do you think?
Well, the polls don't show that. The polls show that Romney is has not made his case to conservatives. He's just stuck at 20-25% max. And so he hasn't closed the deal with conservatives, and it doesn't look like he's about to. That's why you see this one up today and another one up tomorrow, because they're looking for somebody, and they certainly don't believe that Romney is the person they're looking for.
Let's bring in our listeners. Ray in Waltham, Massachusetts. Ray, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
I think at the end of the day, the conservative, from what I've been reading, the conservative and the Tea Party base will never accept Romney. They view him as actually worse than McCain, and they don't want another situation like that. And I can see how the Democrats would want to have Obama run against Romney, because that takes away some of the important issues that the Republicans would have, like Obamacare, claiming, you know, Romneycare. But enough conservative Tea Party base would stay home, be unenthusiastic, that it would be a disaster for the Republicans. And frankly, I think at the end of the day, if it goes to Romney, you're going to see a third party, or the Republicans are going to go the way of the Whigs. They will never accept Romney, never.
Well,
enough people would have it go to the Democrats and wait for next time. They will never go with Romney.
We'll ask Ray, and I appreciate your call. And let me get one more right here. Kennebunk, Maine, Tom is calling. Hi, Tom, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
I just think the definition of conservative, Washington, D.C. is conservative, and the American definition of conservative. You cannot have a politician be conservative. We're talking about people who don't waste their money. And a politician, and Mitt Romney, I think, is a silver spoon politician. Maybe he's a nice guy, but he is not. We need a change. What we have is not working. And Herman Cain, I think, is that change.
What about Herman Cain's trouble this week, the sexual harassment stories? Does it bother you? Is it a problem? Can he win with that on his back?
My only problem with that, and Tom, I am a self-made person. I'm 44 years old. I had $500 when I started.
Yeah.
I have two girls. I have been sued for something like that, and it was not appropriate. And I don't know his situation. I don't like the way he handled it necessarily, but, you know, I want to see how he comes out now. I hope he just tells everything that happened and puts it all on the table, because it doesn't bother. I mean, it does bother me, because I want to see him. It would be like Christmas if he wins the presidency. I would absolutely love it.
Christmas as President Cain. Tom and Kennebunk, I appreciate your call. One more, I'll take it to Michael Gerson and Richard Vigory. Perry in Owensboro, Kentucky. Perry, you're on the air.
Yeah, I strongly feel that we, the Tea Party, will not support Romney. Hi, Tom. Thank you.
Sure. He will not. Why not?
Because we feel like that he is more of the same Republican-Democrat we've had for years. I strongly support Ron Paul because he's very consistent in what he does.
But do you think he's got a chance? I mean, people are saying in the end it's going to be Romney, because everybody else, their numbers are too small. He's got the war chest.
If it's Romney, they'll give it back to Obama, because we will not support Romney.
Perry, I appreciate your call. Michael Gerson, it is not hard to tap, you know, sort of the Republican circle and find plenty of people who say just that. I will not go with Romney. Do you think they're bluffing that, you know, he'll take it, and they will? We're coming right up here on Iowa, New Hampshire, and all the rest.
Well, I've been through this a couple of times, and primaries, there's always very strong feelings. But then when you get to a general election and the choice is between Barack Obama and, say, Mitt Romney, if it works out that way, the dynamic changes significantly. I mean, it's stark. So, The question is how enthusiastic the base is, how they would turn out. And these recent elections have shown that Republicans are turning out in pretty large numbers. There's a lot of momentum there. I'm not sure that Romney would significantly undermine that. And I think he would have some appeal to the center that some other candidates might not. So you're always, as a Republican, you're trying to excite your base and appeal to the center of American politics. That's how you win presidential elections. I think Romney would have some problems in the first, but might have some advantages in the second.
Richard Viguerie, how do you see it? Inevitable? Who's the other candidate? I mean, all their numbers, you know, Herman Cain's have been right up there, but now he's got this issue this week. Do you see an option here? And if there's not, if it's Romney, you said House divided. Is that a kind of split in the GOP? Does that mean Obama?
You know, Michael's article that we're discussing here was called The Conservative Case for Mitt Romney. And quite frankly, I've read it multiple times. I just don't see it. But I think it would have been a good article titled A Republican Case for Romney. But there's no conservative case here for Romney. But the idea that you've got to appeal to the center. The Democrats didn't do that in 2006. They didn't do that in 2008. They nominated and ran for president the most liberal candidate ever nominated by a major political party and won a big election. People want bold colors, as they talked about during the Reagan years, no pale pastels. We want bold colors, and that's what Americans want right now. And I think, as Michael pointed out in a previous column, Americans just may be ready to make a major ideological shift.
But with respect, Richard, you know, Michelle Bachmann, colorful as you want to be, bold as you want to be, she's got, what, 2-3% now? Rick Perry, he's right down there, too. Ron Paul, his people are totally on board with him, and he doesn't really break into big numbers.
But it's not because of their ideological beliefs, Tom. It's because of the type of campaign they're running. You add up all of those who are right of center versus all of those who are left of center. Romney and Huntsman have got maybe 25%, and the conservatives have a total of 75%. The Republican Party comes down basically along those numbers there. About 75% of the Republicans are conservative, solidly conservative, and 25% or less so.
So if this breaks for Romney in spite of that, because he's lined up, and as you say, the others, you're not satisfied with how they're handling their politics. If it's him, what happens?
Well, as one of your callers just said, I'm concerned that some people, Ron Paul has not ruled out that he might go third party. I think the Republican Party is playing with fire here, just like the Super Committee is playing with fire when they're talking about putting everything on the table and maybe raising taxes here. The Republican Party is possibly poised to govern for a long time or destroy itself here. I think, there's a lot of conservatives out there ready to run for president 2016 that are principled conservatives. This year, we're a little short on principled conservatives, but the Republican Party is a conservative party, and the leadership is not. That's a big problem for the Republican Party. We're not, in my opinion, the conservatives or Tea Party, not going to get to the political promised land until we get new leaders. Very similar to the biblical Jews who had to wander through the desert for 40 years until that generation of failed, flawed leaders had passed from the scene. We're not going to get to the political promised land until we get new leaders. And that includes replacing John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, Lamar Alexander, and these others who are not principled small government conservatives who want to reduce the size of government. Michael, go back to the vision of our founders.
Michael Gerson, we just got 20 seconds before the break, but who's got the right beat here? The Romney team, the way they're reading their party, the GOP, or Richard Viguerie?
Well, I guess we'll see, but I think Republicans generally, when it comes to a national election, including conservative Republicans, would rather win than lose.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Mitt Romney and the GOP asking, will conservative Republicans back this man? Asking, do they have to? Republicans, you can join us. Is Mitt your man? Is he now inevitable? Independent voters, how's Romney look to you? Everybody, is this Mitt Romney's moment? Mitt's time. Flip-flopper has been a tag that Mitt Romney has had to deal with. At a New Hampshire town hall meeting in September, he defended himself on that front. He said, when the facts change, you've got to change.
It's not that every single issue I've looked at in my entire life, I've never changed my view on. In the private sector, if you don't change your view when the facts change, well, you'll get fired for being stubborn and stupid.
Don't be stubborn. Don't be stupid. But how much is too much? Here's Fox News political commentator Britt Hume on Chris Wallace's show Fox News Sunday, saying that Romney's flip-flopping would be his biggest roadblock at this point to the White House.
I think it is his single biggest problem, really, apart from the fact that because of the flips, or because of the positions he's flipping from, or positions to the left of where the core of the Republican Party is, people don't trust him as a conservative. And I would say, you know, people usually like it if you change positions and you come toward their position. Mm-hmm. But you're only allowed a certain number of flips before people begin to doubt your character. And I think Romney exhausted his quota some time back.
Are Democrats listening to all this, watching? You bet they are. Here's President Obama advisor David Plouffe, also joining the chorus of those calling Romney a flip-flopper. Here he is on Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press.
Issue after issue after issue, he's moved all over the place. And I can tell you one thing, working a few steps down from the president, what you need in that office is conviction. You need to have a true compass, and you've got to be willing to make tough calls. And you get the sense with Mitt Romney that, you know, if he thought it was good to say the sky was green and the grass was blue to win an election, he'd say it.
You may hear more of that from the Democratic quarter. With us this hour from Manassas, Virginia, Richard Viguerie, chairman of the conservative news and commentary site conservativehq.com. He's been in the game of conservative politics for a very long time. Michael Gerson is with us from Washington, speechwriter for President George W. Bush, syndicated columnist with the Washington Post. And with us right now from Charleston, South Carolina, I want to check in directly with Tea Party land. Ryan Hecker is with us. Dedicated member of the Houston Tea Party Society, founder of the Tea Party's Contract from America. He's now chief operating officer and treasurer of Freedom Works for America, a Freedom Works conservative nonprofit based in Washington, led by Dick Armey. In September, Freedom Works formed a new super PAC called Freedom Works for America. That's Ryan Hecker's outfit. Ryan Hecker, welcome back to On Point.
Glad to be here, Tom.
So give us a straight-up Tea Party view on Mitt Romney. You know, your crowd was a big factor in the 2010 midterm big successes of the GOP. Do you see that energy wheeling in here behind candidate Romney, if that's what it is?
There'll be basically zero support for candidate Romney in the primary from the Tea Party movement. And, I mean, you know, he hasn't just flipped on social issues. He's flipped on economic issues as well. You know, just recently in Ohio, he refused to take a stance on the Ohio labor bills, which, you know, Governor Kasich, who's a true conservative, pushed through these reforms that are supposed to create jobs that are going to heal the Ohio economy.
This was taking bargaining rights away from public sector workers in Ohio.
Yes, and Romney decided to play the same game that he always plays, which is to take the position that consultants tell him to take that'll be, you know, most helpful in a general election. He's not, you know, his jobs record isn't strong. His jobs record in Massachusetts is incredibly weak. I mean, he increased taxes on multiple issues. The guy is a technocrat. He doesn't believe in limited government. He just believes in a government in which he's in charge.
Are you going to shoot yourself in the foot here, Ryan? I mean, you know, if it's not Romney, who's it going to be? Are you going to, like, walk away from him and from a Republican perspective then have to live with 4 more years of Barack Obama in the White House?
Oh, no. I mean, I don't think we're talking at this stage about anything regarding the general election. I mean, there might, you know, I mean, at the Obama
comes pretty quick.
Is the worst alternative. And so we have to judge, you know, who's a better alternative. And if Romney gets the nomination, we'll have to judge at that point if he's the best alternative to defeat Barack Obama, and he probably is.
What does that mean? That you would fall in behind him?
If he were to get the nomination.
Yeah. So if he doesn't, you know, maybe he won't. I mean, but many people are saying it's inevitable when you really work the numbers. If he does, will the Tea Party come in behind him, or is it zero for him?
I think at this point, I mean, I think there'll be an enthusiasm gap. And what I'm worried about from Freedom Works from America, I mean, we're focused on the Senate races. What I'm worried about is that Romney will drag down races across the country that are going to be key races for conservative pickups because there's going to be an enthusiasm gap, where the same enthusiasm gap McCain faced, where people aren't going to see much of a difference necessarily between Romney and President Obama.
Are you looking at somebody else on the GOP stage there and thinking maybe even now you've got an alternative? Who?
Besides John Huntsman, basically anyone. So I think we're still looking at it, and you know, I think you know, Rick Perry could be a good alternative. I mean, there are other potential good alternatives to Mitt Romney. I mean, we haven't endorsed anyone yet, and I think that that's something that we're still looking into. And I think that the race is, I mean, as we've discovered, and you know, as you're talking about, incredibly fluid at this point.
Well, fluid, but I mean, maybe. But you know, you've been watching along with everybody else. Rick Perry hasn't exactly wowed the crowds. He's got the money, but he hasn't wowed the crowds. And Herman Cain, what about his trouble this week? How big do you think that trouble is, Ryan?
I think that's, you know, I'm not a soothsayer. We don't know yet. I mean, we have basically no information to go on about what the accusations are. What we know is there are a number of accusations, which, you know, might say something, but I think that there's, you know, I mean, I think right now it's kind of a wait and see approach across the country where everyone is waiting and seeing what comes out of this. I mean, it could be something huge. It could be, you know, nothing.
Wait and see, but the votes start up in, what, about 9 weeks now?
Yep.
Iowa and right on. Barbara in Afton, Virginia. Barbara, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My problem with all of these candidates is that we haven't heard enough military strength. Remember, that's their number one job, the economy and the military, and we have to have someone who's charismatic. Are there no people like this left in the world?
What, you want somebody in uniform or someone who's been in uniform?
Yes, been in uniform, been in business, and can speak well.
But, Barbara, I mean, is that still number one after all? I mean, we've been at war for the better part of this last decade, and the economy's, you know, gone down the tubes without a strong economy. You know, does it really matter on the military front? How long can you keep that up?
Of course we need to be military. That's what made us strong. We need to be out of all these wars that are getting nowhere. Let the other people, we can't change these guys over there. They're completely opposite of us. Our government will not work for them.
Barbara,
we understand that.
I appreciate your call. One more, Nashville, Tennessee. Carl, you're on the air.
Hi. You know, I came into my political own in the late 70s on through the 80s. I've never seen the Republican Party this dysfunctional. It reminds me of the dysfunction that the Democratic Party had after Ted Kennedy challenged Jimmy Carter from the left. And I can't believe that we've gone all this time through this show and no one is honest enough with themselves to say the real reason that Romney is not going to be supported by the Tea Party or the hardcore right. I'm here in the South, and trust me, evangelical Christians are not going to support a Mormon, because here's the thing. If they have a problem with him being a flip-flopper, then you have John Huntsman that's there. But why won't they get behind him? Oh, he's a Mormon too. So we have to be intellectually and politically honest with ourselves before we can move forward. They will not support Huntsman because he's a Mormon, and they will not support Romney because he's a Mormon.
Carl, let us pick it up right there. I appreciate your call. Richard Viguerie, how about it? Does it come down to that, at least in a
that's
indissolvable piece of it?
That's a straw man that liberals like to, put up there so they can knock down.
But there is evangelical resistance to them.
Well, I know, Tom, I'm in national conservative meetings once, twice, three times a week, and I've not heard that raised by any national conservative. Something that the media is always trying to move the conservatives away from any conservative position. Let me mention something that's very, very important that you hardly hear anybody talking about these days, but it's the first time in 40 years Republicans, until April 1st in the primaries, have abolished winner-take-all, so that if a candidate is getting 6%, 7%, 10% between now and April 1st, they can take those delegates to the convention. And it could very well be that nobody will have more than 25-30% of the vote at the convention, and we could see somebody who's way down in the polls now come back up through negotiations, through wheeling and dealing at a convention. It could be a very, very interesting process.
Michael Gerson, could you see that happen? Cain, Perry, Bachman come back, from the edge and pull it off late?
No, I just think it's much more likely that as long as this significant anti-Romney vote within the primaries remains divided among several candidates, that it makes Romney the most likely nominee. And he also benefits from the fact that if you're trying to determine who's the purest candidate in this race, ideologically purest candidate, it's not easy in that, you know, Rick Perry was the governor of a state and has a fairly moderate immigration position, for example, which I hear criticized in South Carolina and Iowa.
And by Mitt Romney.
Right, yeah. Herman Cain seems to have not just flip-flopped on abortion, but had at least two positions in the same interview where he was talking pro-choice language and pro-life language and seemed pretty confused on it. And so there's, you know, this is not completely new. I mean, people forget, and I'm not comparing the two because they're very, very different. But, you know, when Ronald Reagan was governor of California, he liberalized abortion and divorce laws, something that he later said that he regretted. And he had tax increases in California. You know, successful parties sometimes give some leeway to good candidates. And as I said, I don't think that Mitt Romney is Ronald Reagan. He doesn't have that ideological history of kind of intellectual argument. He's not a thought leader in the party, which I think is part of his problem. But I think successful parties give some leeway to their candidates that, you know, they're as long as they regard them as principled.
Ryan Hecker, is it possible that you're looking maybe in the Tea Party realm here for too much purity, that you might push and end up with the equivalent of George McGovern, who, you know, got almost nothing, or Barry Goldwater, who didn't come close in the end?
No, I don't think so at all. I think there are a number of potential alternatives. I mean, you know, Rick Perry, for instance, was, you know, a three-term governor from Texas. He's not a, you know, just kind of this extreme candidate. I mean, I think there are a number of other. Herman Cain, I mean, as much as I don't like this, I mean, he supported TARP. I mean, these are guys that are not, you know, actually probably the kind of movement conservative that I would like to see in the race, someone like Mike Pence, who, you know, or Mitch Daniels, who decided not to run. You know, but so I don't think that we're asking for too much. We're just asking for someone that hasn't flip-flopped on every single issue under the sun and is a technocrat. Like, we're asking for someone who actually believes it. I mean, you know, I think Michael is right. I mean, Mitt Romney is as far away from Ronald Reagan as possible. I mean, Ronald Reagan was, you know, one of the thought leaders of the new American conservative movement, and what he did in California is, you know, I mean, he took a liberal state, he made it more conservative, but that was, you know, before what happened with his rise in the movement. I mean, he was, you know, a figure of a great movement, and that movement now exists. And it's you know, the Tea Party movement in 2010 had huge gains. And we really, you know, we're looking for a candidate who believes in free market, in the free market, and just won't give lip service to it. So Mitt Romney, yeah, everyone flip-flops, you know. I mean, everyone has little flips and flops. But Mitt Romney has no core. And that's the problem.
Tina in Monroe, New Hampshire. Tina, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What do you think?
I just wanted to say that I've been following all these guys pretty closely for several years now, and I feel that Mitt Romney is just a Republican version of Barack Obama, and he is a flip-flopper. I feel that there is one candidate who has been in the military, worn a uniform, who has had a business of his own, and who is a true conservative and who is not a flip-flopper, and that would be Ron Paul.
Can he win?
I feel he can. If people would stop saying, can he win, can he win, I don't know if he could win. I am certain he could win, and he's the best thing we could do for this country.
Tina's ready to step up for Ron Paul. One more here. Joe in Hartford, Connecticut. Joe, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Listen, what I'm thinking is that what Tea Partiers fail to recognize is the simple fact that their candidates, be it Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann, Perry, or the newest flavor of the month, Kane, that these individuals are simply unelectable on a national level, in large part because they're, you know, extremists. And most of America, certainly most of Republicans, are moderates. Subsequently, I think they'll lose the election by not backing Romney, in spite of his not embracing his accomplishments on a state level and flip-flop.
Joe, I appreciate it. Let me take that to Richard Viguerie. How about it? Maybe the old wisdom is still there, that in the end you need to be somewhere closer to the center to win in this country.
Well, the Democrats didn't experience that in 2008. That last caller, ridiculous. He says you can't nominate anybody as extremist. Well, extremism in the eye of the beholder. The Democrats in 2008 nominated a community organizer who had radical liberal
views.
But Barack Obama has shown he's not an extremist.
He campaigned as a hardcore liberal, Tom, and in the closing days of the campaign, he repeated over and over, we are days away from fundamentally changing America.
Yeah, where is that?
How about Obamacare? How about card check that he wants to abolish secret elections in unions? How about cap and trade? How about tax increase?
Are you chagrined?
A massive expanding of government by trillions and trillions of dollars. Tom, this is outside the mainstream of America.
Well, we could argue that, but you've worked on this for so long. Are you chagrined at this moment when after the 2010 midterms, it looked like, the Tea Party victories were enormous? I mean, never been so few Democrats in the House of Representatives since 1940. And now here's the candidate leading the pack, it appears. Are you chagrined by that?
Oh, no question. Absolutely. We wish we would have, a principled conservative candidate who would be running away with the nomination. That's not the case. We have to deal with what we have now. Tom, I will say this. The nominee for the Republicans in 2012 will have to do two things. And you're not going to be nominated unless you do these two things. One, you have to be seen as a conservative. And a reliable conservative if you are elected president. And two, you have to be seen as somebody that can beat Obama. And if you can do those two things, you will be the Republican nominee in 2012.
Ryan Hecker, you're with the Tea Party. If it's Mitt Romney in the end, do you pull in behind him or do you bolt the party?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, the Tea Party isn't a monolithic, group. I mean, a lot of it's driven by momentum and social networking and discussions and decentralized power. And so there might be some Tea Parties that will and many that won't. And so what we have is a candidate who will create a major enthusiasm gap and will potentially hurt us in taking over the Senate. And I think, when going back to your extreme comment, just to sum up, I mean, Marco Rubio, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, these guys were all too extreme, or viewed as too extreme in the run-up up to the 2010 election, and now they're conservative thought leaders in the U.S. Senate.
Ryan Hecker with the Houston Tea Party Society, Richard Viguerie with conservativehq.com, Michael Gerson with the Washington Post. Thanks to each of you for being with us this hour. Very grateful to you for your time. Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.